Second Kings chapter number 6, and we're going back a few chapters tonight, and a very familiar passage of scripture, and we'll take a look at it tonight and grab our text from there, and well, we ain't going to grab nothing. We're going to stay right there all night, and we may go back a little bit into First Kings, but for the most part, you can find your place right there in 2 Kings chapter number 2, and we'll read the first 15 verses if I can see them. I walked up here without my glasses, and so I think I can do it as long as I got plenty of light, and so we'll take a look at this. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1 of 2 Kings chapter number 2. How many of y'all are there? All right, let's begin our reading. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, and wrapped it together, and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. As we look at this tonight, This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. You may not be familiar with all the details of it, so I'm going to give you a little bit of the details of it. For whatever reason, and we do not know why or how this occurred, but it was evident to a lot of people that this day would be the last day that Elijah would be on the earth. Elijah is one of two individuals in your Bible who does not have a death date. All right. The other being Enoch, he walked with God and was not. And then you have Elijah being taken up by a whirlwind. And so it was apparent either through prophecy or maybe through divine revelation, but it was apparent not only to Elijah, but it was apparent to Elisha, and we also see the sons of the prophets. Now, the sons of the prophets, that may be something that you're not familiar with, and so we'll talk about them for just a few moments, but apparently Elijah had begun a school for the prophets, and he did so at different locations. Our story begins in Gilgal, and Elijah leaves Gilgal and goes to Bethel, and it is at Bethel that Elisha is confronted by some sons of the prophet or some students that are in the school. He goes from Bethel to Jericho, and once again, we see the sons of the prophets coming to Elisha and letting him know, in case he doesn't already know, that this would be the last day that he would spend with Elijah. So just a little bit of a background. We see Elijah making his rounds on the last day that he would be on earth. We won't say the last day that he's alive, but the last day that he would physically walk the face of the earth. And Elisha is very content and very dogmatic that he is not going to leave Elijah's side. During the middle of all of this, and after a few opportunities to leave and to stay behind that was offered by the prophet Elijah, Elijah turns to Elisha and he says, "Ask anything you want. What do you want? What can I give to you?" And Elisha says, "I want a double portion of thy spirit." In other words, what Elisha was saying was, if I'm going to carry on in the office of a prophet, I'm going to need what you have, and I desire more of it. Not for gain, not for personal gain. Elisha was serving in a time where he was going to need all the Spirit of the Lord that he could get. He recognized that, and therefore he sought after it. And here Elijah tells him, man, this is a hard thing to ask, but if you see me when I go, if you're faithful, I need somebody to hear me tonight. He's saying, you will get what you ask for. And of course, we see Elijah and Elisha. Many people say, well, Elijah was taken up by a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Read your Bible. That is not what happened. He was taken up by a whirlwind. The chariots of fire, the horses of fire, they simply divided or separated Elijah and Elisha. Another little thing, another little nugget that I'm going to give you before I move on is that Elisha, when this chariot separates them and the whirlwind takes up Elijah, Elisha cries out and says, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He was not describing what he seen come from heaven. He was describing Elijah. He was calling Elijah his father. He was calling Elijah the chariot of Israel. He was calling Elijah the horseman thereof. In other words, he was saying that it was because of Elijah that Israel was who she was.
It was because of his prayers. It was because of his preaching. It was because of his prophecy. It was because of his ministry. He shouldered all of Israel before God. Now, I know this to be a fact because when Elisha died, guess what they said about Elisha? My father, my father. The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. So even Elisha was described as he described Elijah here in our text. Elisha at his death, on his deathbed when he died, the king of Israel called Elisha the same thing that Elisha called Elijah, all right? Now, here's the thing. Here's what we want to get to tonight. The fact of the matter was that when this took place, the mantle of Elijah fell to the ground. The mantle was an indicator, if you will. It was very significant in the life of a prophet, and it is what identified, all right, a man of God or a prophet at that time. The mantle would be like the ministry being passed forward or passed down to Elisha. And so when the prophet, the man of God, ascended up into heaven in a whirlwind, the mantle or his office as prophet, it fell to the ground near Elisha. This is what I want to talk about tonight. It was an opportunity, if you will. I entitled this message, When Opportunity Knocks. When Opportunity Knocks. Now, we're going to get a little bit into this, and we're going to talk about when opportunity knocks, how you can take advantage of it. I want to say this to everybody in here. We all, no matter who you are in this building, you can take advantage of a time when opportunity knocks by adhering to or by practicing the following characteristics found in Elisha. So we're going to talk about some things that Elisha had in him that made him, prepared him or that had him where he could take advantage of that opportunity. And we're going to show those things to you tonight, and we're going to do the best we can to lay hold of those characteristics in our own life. Because by doing so, we have prepared ourselves to take advantage of when opportunity knocks. Can I say this, and by way of introduction still, that there are opportunities that are fixing to come along in this church for people to step up and do something. I need somebody to hear me right now. We have, over the course of the last 2 years or whatever it's been with this pandemic, we have tried to be patient with folks. We have had people that had roles in this church that we considered to be leaders in this church, and they've allowed this to take them out of the church. They've allowed this to move them away from areas that need to be addressed in the church, and we're patient, where we've been patient for these few years. Now it's time to start filling holes. Now it's time to start finding Elishas. People that want to serve God, people that are willing to get involved, people that will carry the mantle forward as we move forward. Now, that opportunity is for everybody that's under the sound of my voice. If you want it, it is there for us. But we got to have some characteristics. We've got to lay down some characteristics of what Elisha was and why he was fit for this mantle, and we have to look at it in our own life. I want you to notice the first characteristic that I noticed about Elisha was that he was a prepared person. He was a prepared person. Now, you have to do a little bit more studying in your Bible to see this. You can't just grab this right here in 2 Kings. This is where I told you we might go back to 1 Kings chapter number 19. But if you go back to 1 Kings chapter number 19, you'll find that Elisha is anointed by Elijah to be the prophet in his stead. This was ordained, if you will, by God himself. God told Elijah that he was going to go and he was going to anoint three people. He was going to anoint Jehu. He was going to anoint Hazael, something like that. Y'all go look it up, all right? And then the other one would be Elisha, all right? And Elisha would be anointed as prophet in his stead. The Bible says that Elijah went to where Elisha was, and Elisha was plowing in the field. And the Bible says that Elijah cast his mantle onto Elisha. Elijah said, hold on a minute. Let me go back and tell my family what's going on, and I will follow you. And Elijah said to him, he said, what have I done to you? In other words, what Elijah was saying was, this calling is from God. This is God's decision. I am just toting the mail. Is everybody with me? And so the Bible tells us that he took the oxen that he was plowing behind, which, by the way, was 12 yoke. He took those oxen and he offered sacrifice. He brought his family together. He said goodbye to them. And he used the instruments that he was plowing with to start the fire that cooked the food and made the sacrifice of the animals that he was working. What I'm trying to tell you was this man was a prepared man. We see it in his summons. God came to where he was. I need somebody to hear me tonight. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say that the first step of preparation in our life is salvation. How many of you are saved in the building tonight? How many of you has been called by God unto salvation? If you're saved tonight, let me go ahead and help you out. You already qualified. You're already qualified. God has begun to prepare you. The Bible tells us that he surrendered all that he had. He gave up the instruments, the animals, and he followed after Elijah. Now, this is a little bit of a different thing, but listen to me. It should be the ministry and it should be the desire of every single one of us. If God surrendered his life for you and I, it should be nothing that you and I would surrender our life to him. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for those who would work in full-time ministry. Every single one of us is obligated to surrender our life to the Lord because he surrendered his life for us. The Bible says that it wasn't taken from him. The Bible says that he freely gave his life so that you could spend an eternity with him and avoid the wrath of God and hell. The least you and I could do is to give him our life. He was prepared. He was a prepared person. He was saved. He was surrendered. But he was serving. He was serving. He was already busy. He was doing something for the Lord. Now, as we study this out, and you'll have to go and do a lot more studying than just what's in your Bible. But when you go and you look, you'll find out that in 1 Kings chapter number 19, Elisha is called. But we don't hear Elisha's name mentioned in chapter number 20. We don't hear Elisha's name mentioned in chapter 21. We don't hear Elisha's name mentioned in chapter number 22. We don't hear Elisha's name mentioned in 2 Kings chapter number 1. The last time we heard about Elisha, he was called to the ministry. And now, on Elijah's last day on earth, Elisha is mentioned again. The Bible tells us about Elisha in chapter number 3 of 2 Kings in verse number 11. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the kings of Israel's servants answered and said this, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. What a resume. Hey, you would have thought that they would have said something like, here's Elisha who performed a miracle here. Here's Elisha who did this and who did that. Here's Elisha that raised somebody from the dead. Here's Elisha who called out on God and fire came down from heaven. But the only description they had of Elisha was that he poured water on the hands of Elijah. Now, that may seem very insignificant, but I want to let you know something. By study, you'll find out that the time that has elapsed between chapter number 19 in 1 Kings and 2 Kings chapter number 2, where Elisha is spending his last day with Elijah, is 20 years. 20 years. Elisha poured water on the hands of Elijah. He did nothing special. Y'all got to hear me. He didn't do anything to have his name put in the lights. Matter of fact, he wasn't even mentioned in 20 years. But yet, for 20 years, God was preparing him to be a prophet of Israel. How? Through menial service. I need somebody to help me. Through just serving. Just doing whatever he was asked. Not having an official ministry that he was over, that you could say this was Elisha's ministry. Elisha simply did whatever was asked of him, whatever was needed of him. But it was through his menial or obscure service that God prepared him to take up the mantle. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say every person that's sitting in this building right now, you are qualified. You've been saved. You said, God, I was reading this, brought a smile to my face. It's a membership. One of the soldiers is wanting to join our church. And this is what they put down at the bottom. We put down here, church ministries. Let us know what you would be interested in serving in. And they checked off about four or five things. And this is what they said right at the bottom. They wrote, wherever I'm needed. That's what's wrote right there. Wherever I'm needed. In other words, I don't care what it is. I just want to serve. That's the type of people. That's a characteristic of somebody that'll take advantage of an opportunity when it knocks and pick up the mantle. Number two, I noticed not only were they prepared people, you'll have to go back in your study and find that with 1 Kings chapter number 19. And you'll find that in the last verses of that as far as Elisha is concerned. But we find out that not only is he a prepared person, but he was a persistent person. He was a persistent person. He never quit. How many of y'all, after about the second time that I read, As the Lord Liveth, did y'all remember that? As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. You started to get a pattern. Come on now, I need some help. We start to get a pattern in there pretty quick to realize that this man is very persistent. He's not the type of person that ducks out when things get hard. I need somebody to hear me. We need persistent people in ministry. We need people that will withstand the test of time. I remember a preacher preached one time and he said this. He said, we don't need any sparklers. We need a candle. We need one that's going to burn through the night. We don't need somebody that's going to be all bright and shiny and real attention getting and then fizzle out. And boy, isn't that a good illustration of how church folks are. People get saved, they want to serve, they jump in there, and man, they're bright. Boy, I'm telling you, they want to do everything, they want to do this, that, and the other. But when it comes to the test of time, we've had to watch folks take ministries around here. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, only to let ministry. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. You don't understand. If you're not involved in ministry, you don't understand the stress that puts on everybody else when you leave your ministry and you don't do what you're supposed to do. When you're not here when you're supposed to be here, you don't understand the stress that it puts on everybody else in ministry. Sure, you are having your Sunday fun day, but everybody else is having to work double time to cover because you're not here. And so it takes somebody that's persistent. It takes somebody that's going to weather the storm. I notice in this, he's persistent. One of the characteristics, he was a persistent people. They're persistent in obscurity. See, as I mentioned already, he wasn't named in all those chapters, but yet he was there. Okay, come on, y'all. Hey, this is better than this, I promise you, all right? Hey, they were persistent in obscurity. There's some people that the only way they can serve is if they're getting the glory for it. And God says in the Word that He will not share His glory with no man. And yet, we can't have somebody serve unless the preacher gets up and tells about how great they did or what they did or this, that, and the other. Hey, where are the Elisha whose names are not mentioned, but everybody knows that they're busy doing something? They were persistent. Even in obscurity, he was persistent. Even amongst obstacles, he was persistent. Hey, how about all them people that come up to him, them sons of the prophet, and said, don't you know that today your master's going to be taken away from you? Boy, I'm going to tell you what, we need people that will be persistent when everybody around them isn't agreeing with what they're doing. When people are coming up to him and aren't giving them encouraging words, and yet he was persistent when it comes to obstacles. I noticed this, and man, this was one of my favorite things. I put this together years ago, but he was persistent when it came to his opportunities. He had opportunities to settle all along the walk of his life. And can I say this? You have those same opportunities. I want you to think about this. Some people stop at Gilgal. Gilgal was the first city that was mentioned. That's where the journey began. So it is a place of beginnings. And many people, they just get saved, come on, help me now, and they stop. They settle. They don't progress any farther. They get saved. Gilgal is as far as they want to go. They will stick around Gilgal because that is a place of beginning. That's where they first got saved. Then you go from Gilgal, and the next place is mentioned in Scripture is Bethel. We know Bethel to be the house of God. And so a lot of times I wrote it out like this. Not only do they settle in the beginning, but they settle in blessings. Bethel, the house of God, a place of blessing, a place of God's blessing, if you will. How many people walked into the church, life in a shamble, they get saved, God starts working out their marriage, starts working on their kids, start doing all these things, gets them out of financial trouble, gets them a new job, gets them all these things, all these blessings are dumped on them, and as soon as everything's all right again, can't find them with a good hunting dog. Why? Because they've settled in a place of blessing. They come to us, tore up, the family back gone. God puts the family back together, and as soon as it happens, oh, we can handle it from this point, God, thank you. And they're right back out there. And the scary thing about this, and what's so sad about this, is most times when their life falls apart again, and it does, they're too embarrassed to walk back into church. But it was of their own doing. It wasn't anything that we did. Now, they'll make it out like the church is ugly and the church is this side and the other, but the fact of the matter is they are a product of their own decision. And they've chose to settle in a place of blessing. And they just want to hang around there. Then you have Jericho. That's the next place that Elijah went to. And this I call the place of battles. We know Jericho and probably the greatest battle in our Bible is Jericho and the walls falling down. But there's a lot of folks, y'all got to help me right here. They'll settle in the beginning, they'll settle in their blessings, and then they'll settle when times get hard in the battle. No matter how many times the preacher says, hey, Life ain't a bed of roses. Christian life ain't a bed of roses. The first time struggle comes in their life, they're gone. And then the last one, they come to the River Jordan, a place of boundaries, a place of limitations. They get to a point where they can't do something, and all of a sudden, they quit. Is everybody with me? We see the characteristics of Elijah. He was a prepared man, but he was a persistent man. We need some people that are persistent coming to church. We need some people that are persistent when it comes to serving God. Number three, they are pursuing people. He was a pursuing man. I like this because he wasn't pursuing after worldly pleasure. He wasn't pursuing worldly possessions and worldly material. Not one time, 20 years, the significance of his life was nothing more than pouring water on the hands of Elijah. He didn't have a home. I ain't asking y'all to be homeless. I'm just saying he didn't have a home. It would have been real easy for him to go out and try to buy a 2021 truck. Elijah, why we got to walk everywhere, man? All you got to do is ask God for a car, right? I need somebody to help me. But yet he didn't pursue those things. We see Elisha later, he has a servant by the name of Gehazi, and Gehazi went after Naaman to get money. But you don't see that characteristic in Elisha. Elisha was content with the spiritual. I need somebody to help me right here. His pursuit was not of things of this world, Brother Kenny, but he pursued godly things, spiritual things, spiritual wisdom, spiritual power. Do you realize how many of you, come on now, I need somebody to hear me right here. How many of you realize that every person in our church that is in leadership, every day, every morning that they come in here on a Sunday, every time they serve, they should be asking God for spiritual wisdom and spiritual power to do the ministry that they've been given. That's what Elisha sought after. That's what he pursued in life. What are you pursuing in life? What are you pursuing in life? Y'all do realize that life is short. And many of the things that we're fighting and clawing for and jumping over people and beating people down and everything else for, it's all going to burn up when God destroys this earth again. And listen here, everything that you're fighting for and everything else, Jesus could come back tomorrow. And I'm counting on it. Praise God, I got a house payment. I'm hoping I don't have to make all of it. Yeah, is everybody all right? All right, so they're pursuing people. Number four. They're participating people. They're participating people. Listen, he had a presented challenge. The Bible says that the mantle of Elijah fell to the earth. Is everybody with me? And the Bible says that he went and picked it up. It was a presented challenge, an opportunity, but it was a personal choice. Listen to me. The mantle didn't fall off of Elijah onto Elisha. Read your Bible. That ain't how it happened. The Bible is very specific in that it did not fall on Elisha. It fell and Elisha went and picked it up. It says, and he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces, and he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back. He had to, listen to me, he had to go and pick it up. God will challenge you, but if you want to carry on, if you want to do something for God, you're going to have to participate. God's not, y'all, let me go over here. God's not doing it all for you. I believe God wants to know how bad you want it. So the question tonight is, will you pick up the mantle? The question tonight for all of us is, the mantle's been dropped. There's people that are no longer here. There's people that are no longer faithful that was running ministries, and we got to move on. Who's willing to pick up the mantle and the power of God? Y'all better hear me. And the power of God and move forward. We got to do it. Come on, y'all. Don't get mad at me. I'm not giving up on them. They give up on us. It's time to move on. We have people that need to be saved. The same people that were just like them are right out there right now wanting to know what this whole thing about life is. And you and I have the answers laying in our lap. We've got to get the answer to them. We've got to do our part. And that means that we're going to have to plug in people and move forward. Is everybody all right? Here's the last one, and I'm done. They're prepared people. They're persistent people. They're pursuing people. They're participating people. Lastly, they're progressing people. They're progressing people. I noticed the ratification of progression, of his progression, and I noticed the recognition of his progression. When you see the Bible here, it says, verse number 13, and he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is Elijah? No. Y'all got to hear me. I'm going to move over to the other side. He said, where is Elijah? Read your Bible. What did he say? Where's the Lord God of Elijah? He recognized, I need somebody to hear me right here. He recognized that it wasn't an individual. He recognized that it was God working through an individual. And so when he called out, he wasn't calling out on an individual to help him to do his job. He called out on the God of Elijah, because he knew that the power of Elijah rested in the God of Elijah. And tonight, somebody needs to know, preacher, I'm not able to do it. I'm not as good as they are. I don't know as much as they did. But here's what you need to know. It wasn't them that did anything. It was the God of them that did it. It was the God of this church. And the same God that worked through Elijah, worked through Elisha, not just a little bit, but according to our Bible, a double portion. Why? Because a man was willing to pick up a mantle and say, God, here I am. Use me. He says, where is the God, the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, just like he had seen others, just like he had seen Elijah do, guess what happened? They parted hither and thither, just like it did with Elijah. What are you saying? I'm saying it ain't an individual. It's a God of that individual. It's your God. It's your Father. It's your Lord. And he'll work in you just like he has those before. But you got to be willing to progress and move forward. Listen, he progressed. Here's what he could have done, Miss Michelle. He could have just said, you know what? I've served Elijah for 20 years. I've done my part. I'm going to the house. I'm ready to go see my mama. I ain't seen my daddy in 20 years. I'm ready to get back. I sure miss old Betsy out there plowing behind old Betsy. I'm going to go back and see old Betsy. Is everybody all right? I'm going to go back and check on the farm. Sure was a lot of land. I'm sure some of it's left. Y'all help me now. No. The Bible says he mourned for a bit. The Bible says that he rent his clothes. That was a sign of him mourning for Elijah. He loved him. But I want you to notice what he did. He picked up the mantle and went forward.
he progressed. Can't sit there. I remember one of the sermons, Moses died. When Moses died, the children of Israel mourned him and mourned him. And finally God had to tell him, hey, that's enough. It's time to move forward. It's time to move on. God said the time for mourning of Moses is over. Go. Canaan is there to be conquered. Listen. It's good stuff. They're progressing people. We see the ratification of the progressing. The waters parted, but we see the recognition of the progressing. The Bible tells us in verse number 15, and when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Elisha didn't have to go out and announce his newfound office. God made it very evident to everybody that could see him. Oh, I need somebody to help me. Don't you worry about somebody being upset because you're doing a ministry and they're not. God will make it very evident why you're doing the ministry and they're not. Listen, every single one of us can possess those characteristics. Every one of us. He was a prepared man. What was the next one? He was a persistent man. What was the next one? A pursuing man. What was the next one? He was a participating man. What was the last one? He was a progressing man. Why can't any of us show those characteristics? Come on now, I need somebody to help me. How many of you, God's been preparing you your whole life? Raise your hands. All of you, raise your hands. Hey, listen here. I've learned in ministry that a lot of my preparation happened before I ever got saved. I learned in ministry a lot of my preparation happened before I ever got saved. Yeah, it did. How many of you can be persistent? I need you to raise your hand. That ain't doing nothing but doing what you said you was going to do. Who can't do that? All right. So we can be persistent. Everybody agree with that? We're prepared. We can be persistent. We can pursue after holy things, spiritual things. Who can't do that in the building? Can you do that? Raise your hand. Come on now. Help me now. Stay with me. How many of you can pursue godly things, spiritual things? We can all do it. All right. How many of you can participate? Oh, I like it. How many of you can progress? Well, there you go. So we can all do it, which means we all have those characteristics in us. Now here's the question. Who'll do it? Who'll pick up the mantle? Who'll go forward? Who'll say, you know what? Work has to be done. Who'll take, like Elisha did, and shoulder the spiritual well-being of all of Israel or all of Lake Park and say, God, we got a job to do. Let's move forward. Dalton's coming to the piano. I want to give you a time of invitation, an opportunity to gather around the altar. Maybe you need to tell God, Lord, I want to take advantage when opportunity knocks. I want to be prepared. I want to be persistent. I want to pursue things. I want to pursue after you. I want to participate in whatever's going on. I want to progress in my Christian walk. Heads bowed with me. You come around the altar. Do business with the Lord. We all said we could. Now the question is, will we? We all said we could. Now the question is, will we?
Some young adults need to get involved in this. You're the future. Somebody has to come along and take up the mantle. It's time for some young couples. It's time for some young people to get involved. Say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and God, thank you so much, Lord, for tonight. Lord, I thank you for our church services, and God, I thank you for the people that are here. Lord, so many folks have, Lord, not only in our church, but in churches all across our country, Lord, has allowed pandemics and scares and everything else in the world to take them out of church. Lord, while we love them, and Lord, we hope that they come back, Lord, we can't wait. We can't sit around and twiddle our thumbs hoping that, Lord, they'll pick up where they left off and come back. Lord, it's time for a generation of Elishas to step up and say, Lord, use me. I'm here. I'm available. I want to do something for you. I want to do something special for you. God, I pray that you'd help this church to be the kind of church, Lord, that prepares and, Lord, raises up individuals that'll serve you from within. God, I pray that we'll be the type of church that carries our community, our country, Lord, on our shoulders. The chariot of America, the horsemen thereof, through our prayers, through our preaching, through our lives. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to use us. Lord, I thank you for our church. I thank you for Wednesday night services. I thank you for the Wednesday night crowd. The crowd that says, I don't get enough of you on Sunday morning. I'll take all I can get during the week. Lord, I pray that you'd bless every one of them. Lord, I pray your hand to be upon them and their families. Lord, I pray that you'd watch over them. Lord, protect them. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd inspire them. Lord, to do more for you, to be used by you. God, thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing in our church, what you're doing in the lives of our membership here. Lord, I pray, God, that you would continue to use us. Continue to raise up some Elishas. God, we'll be sure to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Lord, for the work that you're going to do through their lives.